Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, if you will, this morning, imagine with me the ascension of our Lord. After 33 years as a man on this earth, during which he experienced what it's like to be born as a little baby, during which he experienced what it's like to grow up in a family and to go through puberty and to learn a trade and to work hard in a carpentry shop. After an exhausting period of time as in ministry, as he touched people and healed people, expelled demons, raised the dead, calmed the storm, taught the multitudes, discipled his people. After he endured suffering, agony in the garden, betrayal by his friends, false accusations from religious leaders, beatings from the guards, crucifixion by the soldiers, the crushing weight of sin, silence and wrath from his father. After tasting the cup of death, spending 3 days in the grave, being raised to new life in the resurrection, his work finally done, after 33 years, it's time for him to go home to his father, home to heaven. He gathered his disciples one last time. He said his last words to them. He received their worship. He lifted his hands to bless them. And then he ascended into the air, into the clouds. He passed through the atmosphere. He passed through the physical realm. He passed through the heavens. As one poet said, "See the conqueror mounts in triumph. See the king in royal state riding on the clouds his chariot to his heavenly palace gate. The voice of angel choirs joyful alleluias sing, and the portals high are lifted to receive their heavenly king." Jesus made his way into heaven, and he made his way into the temple. The temple in Jerusalem is just a copy of the heavenly temple that Jesus entered. He made his way through the outer courts, into the inner courts, into the holy place. And finally, Jesus went into the most holy place, into the very presence of God, where as our great high priest, Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice, his blood. And after making this once and never needed again sacrifice that made purification for our sin, he took his seat at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, the throne of God, the throne of grace, Jesus, our great high priest. We sing, as we should, a great deal about Jesus as the Lamb. But two aspects of the life and the ministry of Jesus that I really don't think we talk about enough, but which are both vital to your salvation, to your life in Christ. They're both absolutely necessary if you are going to hold on to your faith. And that is something that is important in Hebrews, is that you hold on to your faith. If you want to hold on to your faith, two parts of Jesus' life and ministry that are absolutely necessary are the ascension of Jesus back into heaven and his role as our high priest. And a high priest, very honestly, is not something that you and I really have a context for understanding. We don't have a frame of reference for Jesus as our high priest. We don't have in our life anything here on earth that helps us understand the whole sacrificial system that was so critical. We don't have anything that helps us understand the role of the high priest. Those are foreign concepts. Those are ancient concepts to us. But the reality is, if we're going to fully understand Jesus, if we're going to fully comprehend what it is that He has done for us, what He is continuing to do for us, then we've got to understand Jesus as our high priest. It's the central illustration that this preacher in Hebrews uses. But it's one that's really, really easy for us just to skip past. John Piper, who's a preacher, I think said it right when he said, if you try to skip the Old Testament and interpret Jesus within your own context without the biblical, historical context, you will make him a coach or a therapist or a good example or a mentor. And there may be some truth in each of these, but they will not be as true and as deep and as authoritative and as helpful as the categories the Bible uses for him. God planned centuries of history with Israel, recorded it in the Old Testament, so that we would have a context of understanding Jesus as our high priest. And we could say, well, that's just old-fashioned and that's irrelevant for today. Nobody really understands what that is, so let's just come up with another category. But we need to always go back to God's categories. Always go back to God's words and God's illustrations and God's history and God's book so that we can learn some deep and some wonderful things that we would otherwise miss. And one of those is Jesus as our great high priest. That's how Hebrews pictures him. And we've already seen a couple of different places where the preacher in Hebrews references Jesus as our high priest. Last week, we saw him as our apostle, someone who was sent to represent God to us, and we saw him mentioned as our high priest, someone that for us has gone back to represent us to God. And if I could put it as simply as possible, I would just say that the role of a high priest is to help us draw near to God. That's what a high priest does. It helps the people of God. He helps the people of God draw near to God, and he does that by the gifts that he offers, the intercession that he provides. And in the Old Testament and under the old law, the high priest was a descendant of Aaron. That's the way God set it up. And they offered sacrifices for themselves, and they offered sacrifices for the people. And these sacrifices were meant to cover up the sins that separated mankind from God. And since all of us are sinners, we all need some kind of mediation between us and God. We still need that. We're so familiar and comfortable with the fact that Jesus provides that, that we sometimes don't stop and think about the fact that Jesus provides that. As sinners, we are separated from God. We need someone to come between and help us draw near. That's what the high priest did, and it's what Jesus, our high priest, does. And so priests and high priests served as intermediators. They were a bridge, and the sacrifices that they offered were a tangible daily reminder of the tragedy and the costliness and the messiness and the ugliness of sin. And the priests made these sacrifices every day. But once a year, the high priest went into that Holy of Holies, that most holy place on earth, where God had literally come down in fire and smoke and sat on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the covenant. It was the place on earth that God gave us His presence. One time a year, the high priest would go into that place. And he went through an intense period and process of purification before he could go in to make himself ready to enter God's presence. He went in with fear and trepidation every year. And there he would offer a sacrifice. He would make atonement for the sins of the entire people. One of the problems of this was that this had to happen year after year after year. And the very fact of the system was meant to be a pointer to the fact that something greater was needed. Something more perfect was needed. A greater high priest with a greater sacrifice was needed. One who could fully and finally atone for our sin. Not just cover it up, but atone for it. And open the way to fellowship with God. And one of the key messages of Hebrews is that we have such a high priest, and his name is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and following. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Some versions say with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think this is one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Bible, because it assures us that we can hold on to our faith. It assures us that we can make it through this life. We can be faithful to the very end, because we have a great high priest who is merciful. The two are intricately connected. So let's look at this really closely. Well, Jesus is our merciful high priest. And the key reason that he is full of mercy is because he was fully human. Don't ever miss that. The reason Jesus is such a great high priest and the reason he is so full of mercy is that he is fully human. And I said he is fully human, because I believe the Bible indicates that when Jesus was glorified after his resurrection, and when he was exalted at his ascension, he did not give up his humanity. He is fully God and he is fully man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says powerfully and clearly, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ." Jesus is our merciful high priest because he is one of us. And already in chapter 2, it has said, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those of us who are being tempted." And now it's being said again in chapter 4. Jesus knows and he understands what it is to be a person on this earth. And because he became one of us, he sympathizes with us. He suffers alongside us. He isn't some distant, unfamiliar deity that is unsure or uncaring about the human condition and experience. He didn't simply play at being human for a little while and then go away. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. He fully experienced everything that you and I experience. He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. There wasn't anything that he faced that we haven't faced. And I think that means anything. That means that Jesus, who is our great high priest, knows how you feel. He knows how you feel about things because he's felt that. He knows how you hurt, whether that's physical hurt or emotional hurt or spiritual hurt. Jesus knows because he was hurt in the very same ways. Jesus knows how weak you feel sometimes because he felt weak. Jesus knows the power of compulsion to sin, the temptation to sin, because Jesus experienced the temptation. The difference is he did not give in to it. He never sinned. He overcame it every single time. And he understands. And he knows what temptation is like. I would say he knows what temptation is like even more than you and I know. Here's why I think that. Because if you're like me, too often you resist and fight temptation for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then you end up giving in. Or maybe you're really strong and you can resist and you fight temptation for an hour. Or maybe you might even make a day sometimes, but on any given day, all of us give in to some kind of temptation during that day. We know what it is to resist temptation for a little while. Jesus knows what it is to face relentless temptation and never give in to it, which means the temptation never stopped. He knows what temptation is like. And because of that, he sympathizes with us. He understands. He knows. He's been there. He remembers. So, because that is true, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us draw near. That's the role of the great high priest. He helps us draw near to God. That's what Jesus has made possible. Let us draw near to the throne of grace, not a throne of wrath, which is what we deserve, a throne of grace, which is what we get because of Jesus. Because once and for all, he fully made us right with God. So let us draw near to the throne of grace boldly, with confidence. That is probably the greatest thing that Jesus has done for us as high priest. We can boldly, confidently go before the King of the universe, where we will expect to receive mercy and grace. Please let that sink in this morning and all week long. That Jesus has torn the veil in two. There is nothing to keep you away from God except your own timidity, your own feeling of unworthiness, the voice of the accuser in your ear. Those are the reasons we stay away from God. But Jesus, as your great high priest, has made a way for you to go boldly and confidently before God, expecting to receive mercy and grace and help. He invites you into the throne room where he sits. I love to get to preach this kind of message. I love to get to preach this kind of Jesus because it matters. It's not just beautiful and overwhelming and true. It matters every day in your life. It matters deeply. There's a reason that the preacher in Hebrews preaches this sermon. There's a purpose in proclaiming that Jesus is our great high priest. The reason and the purpose is because it helps you hold on to your faith. Amen. The warning has already been in Hebrews. Don't drift away. And drifting happens so subtly. Don't turn away in rebellion like we looked at last week. No, hold on to your faith. Rather than turning loose and shrinking back, we can hold on and we can draw near because Jesus is your great high priest. You can live a life of faithfulness, persevering faith, enduring faith, never giving up faith, trusting all the way faith, holding on and drawing near boldly and confidently. And so what I want this message to do is to increase your confidence. I want it to increase your boldness. I teach at the mission every week. And we always begin by asking, what kind of things can we praise God for? And what kind of things can we ask God for? And I love hearing the prayers that those guys ask for and offer. And one of the guys this week said, I want you to pray that I would just have more confidence with the Lord. And I said, oh my goodness, let me tell you. Because that was Thursday afternoon and I had written this sermon Thursday morning. So they got the whole sermon. Because that's the point of this sermon. You can have more confidence with the Lord. You can have a deeper, closer, greater relationship with the Lord. You can be bold with the Lord because Jesus is your great high priest. So I want to give you three things this morning to think about. So much of Hebrews has been things that we need to think about. These kinds of things will help you as you fix your eyes on Jesus, as you fix your thoughts on Jesus, as you picture him as your great high priest. It will increase your boldness. It will increase your confidence. It will help you on any given day, no matter what you're going through, just to hold on. So think about these three words. Because Jesus is your great high priest, you have been pardoned. Remember that. You have been pardoned. The verse right before our text today, verse 13, says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That is a stark reality. God sees everything. I grew up with that song, there's the all-seeing eye watching you. Everything is laid bare and opened up before God. That is the reality. We stand naked before God. We stand ashamed before God. We stand exposed before God, except for the fact that we are in Christ. And for that reason, because we are covered in His blood, because we are clothed in Christ, because we are united in Christ, we can stand boldly and confidently because we have been pardoned. And when God looks at us, He sees Jesus, the great high priest, and He sees the offering that Jesus has made for us. And so remember when you're doubting and when you're struggling and when you don't know if you can hold on, remember you have been pardoned. And yes, you go before this great God in front of whom we should be terrified. And yet you can go boldly and you can go confidently because you've been pardoned, because Jesus is your high priest. Keep that picture in your mind. The favor that God extends to His Son is the same favor that God extends to you when you are in His Son. The love and the grace and the mercy and the help that God gave His Son is the same love and grace and mercy and help that God gives those who are in His Son. It's all because of Jesus. Remember your pardon. Also, because Jesus is your great high priest, remember you have proximity. I like alliteration, so we're going to have three P's here. Pardon. The second one is proximity. You have proximity to God because of Jesus. This is that drawing near part. See, you are not shouting across this vast gulf hoping to get God's attention over there. Now, that's what it feels like too often because we live on this earth and we're separated the spiritual and the physical until Jesus comes again. So there is this sense that all around us, our five senses tell us, well, God's so far away, and it may feel like you're having to shout and get his attention. But the reality is that that is not true. You have proximity. You're not trying desperately to get this distant deity's attention who really doesn't care anyway. That's not reality. It may feel that way on any given day, but that is not reality. God sees you. God hears you. God invites you in, and he will show you grace and mercy, and he will give you help. There are literally times when I'm being tempted, when I'm struggling, that the only word I know to pray is help. And he hears that word. And he hears that cry. Your proximity to God helps you hold on to your faith. And because Jesus is your great high priest, you can be persistent. Remember that you are pardoned. Remember your proximity. And just be persistent. Because God sits on a throne of grace. Because Jesus is your merciful high priest, you can persistently go before him. That means over and over and over and over. And the tempter, the accuser, will whisper in your ear, he will not forgive you this time. He will not keep helping you. He will not keep listening. You can't just keep going back to him. Jesus says, yes, you can. And the very act of your persistence will increase your faith. The more you go before the throne, the more confidence you'll have to go before the throne. Because you will have experienced a little more of God's goodness, a little more of God's compassion, a little more of God's help. All because of the one who sits beside the majesty of heaven, Jesus, your great high priest. Would you pray with me? As we enter the throne room of God, that's what we're about to do. This is how we do that. Father, God, Creator, Master, God on high, it is with a reverent fear and respect that we enter. And not with arrogance, because it's not anything that we have done, but with confidence and with boldness because of Jesus, we come before you. And we just begin by saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always been true of you. We read from Lamentations. It's always been true of you that your mercies are new every morning. That you are slow to anger. You're quick to forgive. You are full of love. That's always been true. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we thank you that you perfectly, fully showed us that, proved that to us through everything that you did through Jesus. And it is only because of Jesus, who is our Savior and our High Priest, that we stand here before you. And I'm not a priest, but I'm the one who is speaking this morning, Lord. And so I ask you to look down on this people and hear their prayers. Hear the cries of their heart this morning. Hear their pleas for help. and show them mercy and grace through Jesus. Amen.